strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
You know, normally we'd say, pace yourself. But with the regular season right around the corner, who's ready? Come on, who's ready for the regular season? Absolutely. It's okay if you don't act like you've been there before. Because, you know, I really don't remember. It seems like a long time since regular season football. Ron Wolfley, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready, Paul. Are you kidding me? Let the bloodletting begin.
Let's see, whose name is on this show? Oh, Calais Campbell, are you ready for the Big Red Rage and beyond?
I cannot wait. I'm so excited. It's crazy.
So if you grabbed a rookie, if a rookie was up here, and Dan Williams is scheduled to join us a little bit later, but let's just say Dan was a rookie, and you grabbed him by the nape of the neck, and you said, rookie, I'm going to explain to you the difference between preseason football and regular season football. How would you explain it?
I say now's the time where things get serious. You know, you got to drop everything you're thinking about, focus in, and just whoop people. I'm talking about every play, just nonstop. Everything's coming. You know, preseason, who really cares? That's all preseason. But comes regular season, everything matters.
Just how different, and I ask this rhetorically, but just how different is the intensity level from a preseason game to a regular season game, Calais Campbell?
Hell yeah, it's 10 times different, really like 100 times different. I mean, when it
like
counts,
how does that manifest itself? I mean, does somebody, you know, they might push you around maybe in a preseason game, and then in a regular season game, maybe they're giving you the French uppercut, or they're actually throwing punches out there. The intensity level is, it's just intensified tenfold, isn't it?
100%. You know what I mean? Come week one, especially the first week of the season, since you haven't played really a game that mattered, you know, pretty much since Christmas. You know, this game is huge.
You're fresh. You're ready fresh. To go, right? Fresh
hungry.
Legs.
Do you
paycheck
remember?
Paycheck is real.
Your first regular season game. I mean, do you remember there being a difference? Do you remember anticipating and wondering and being curious going into that regular season over going, man, what exactly am I in for?
Yes, I do. I remember my first preseason game, and I got in there, and I was like, man, this is kind of easy. Like, I thought this would be hard. And then week one came, and I was like, oh, well, that's a different game. These guys are serious.
This is the NFL.
Yes. How do you feel about starting on the road in St. Louis, division game?
That's where I want to be. You know, that's where the most important games are, division games. And if you can win the ones on the road, I mean, those are huge. You're stealing right there. That's the first step to winning a division, being able to win on the road in a division game. So I'm excited. I can't wait.
You've had a big week, haven't you? I mean, all the cameras and the crowds, they aren't facing you right now because you've been doing this all week between your charity endeavors, have you not?
Yes, sir.
How'd that go Monday night? How'd it go for the Calais Campbell Foundation and everything you had
fantastic.
Going?
It was fantastic. It was amazing. You know, we had a blast, raised a bunch of money, and I had fun doing it.
And then you were out there making burgers, right? And they're donating those proceeds to the charity and the foundation as well, right?
Yeah, that's huge. Smashburger, yeah. So it's pretty legit, you know, doing great things right now.
All right. Nobody lost their mind. Anything? You didn't have to escort anybody out or 86 anyone. You didn't have to go call security on anyone, did you? Everyone was behaving?
Yeah, Wolfley stayed home, that's why.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, you know, that's a cheap shot right there. You don't happen to have a burger on you, do you, Calais?
Oh, you've got your own burger here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Wolf, what else do you want?
Well, I just thought maybe I had one ready to go.
When you have your own burger on the menu, don't you like have one at your disposal at any time? How does that work over there?
Wrap it up, Paul.
It's the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, and we're just getting started, all presented by Santan Ford.
Bradford calling for it, takes the snap, back to pass, hit and sack. Back at the 38-yard line by Calais Campbell. Hit and sacked by Campbell. Calais got him that time. Back at the 19-yard line.
Oh, that's big time, baby.
Looking middle of the field in trouble. Sack. Calais Campbell again.
Oh, that is a huge sack. A great job getting some push in the middle. A four-man rush.
And that is key. No doubt about it. If you can get pressure on the quarterback with a four-man rush, we all know the importance of that as you nod your head accordingly. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Ron Wolfe, you heard him there with Dave Pasher. It's truly Paul Calvisi. Explain that for folks, the importance of getting pressure with just four men.
Oh, that's huge. I mean, it allows you to do a lot more on defense with your coverages and shutting people down. I mean, I think that's one of the big reasons we beat New England last year, because we were able to get pressure with four people. I mean, if you're able to just get the four down linemen to go and make plays and cause havoc and get the ball at the quarterback's hands early, you're going to cause a lot of turnovers, you're going to make a lot of plays, you're going to win a lot of games.
Calais, how do you think that four-man rush might be improved this year? The ability to rush four and just be better than the guy that is trying to block you.
John Abraham.
In a word, right? John Abraham.
That guy's a beast.
What are the dynamics behind that, Calais? Like, what exactly is John Abraham going to do for you and Darnell Dockett and the rest of the pass rush?
You know, I think his reputation, you know, a lot of people are going to concentrate on him a lot. And he's going to make a lot of plays early, too. So it's going to make it harder to double-team me and Dockett. And then you also got Matt Shaughnessy, Sam Macho, Lorenzo Alexander. I mean, these guys are beasts off the edge, too. And sometimes they actually put me on the edge. Let me rush outside and bring Dan Williams in. And
you're kidding me. They're going to put you out there, right, as the edge guy with those tree limb arms?
Yeah.
Can you say arm over?
Swim move. So did you campaign for that, or did that just sort of happen organically?
You know what? I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, when Coach Bowles first came in, I was like, you got to give me a couple chances on the outside. I mean, back in college, I was pretty nice at it. So he told me to give me a shot. So we worked it a little bit in camp, and then he liked it. So, you know, this team does a lot of, you know, they're getting kings, which is like three receivers, and try to run the ball. So Big Nickel's a real good chance to shut that down.
So the Rams like to get in kings. They like that three wide receiver, that 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide look. They like that a lot. In a word, though, what is John Abraham, what is his best move, in your opinion? Does he still have that first step?
I think the first step is everything. You know, he has so many different moves he can do to win, but it's all because his first step is so fast.
It's because he can threaten you on the edge, right?
Yeah.
And 13 years in the league, stop and think about that. 13 years in the league, the guy has averaged 10 sacks, right? 10 sacks a year. And he averaged that last year, by the way. 70% of the snaps he's averaged over the course of his 13-year career. Last year, 70% of the snaps. He has not dropped off at all, and it's still because he can get the edge on a lot of left tackles in the league. At his age, he can still just line up with that first step and get the edge. That's amazing, isn't it?
It really is, and it's so smooth. Like, when you watch him, I mean, he just, like, glides. And, I mean, he's special. He really has a, you know, just, he's a legend in the game.
You know, a lot of people say, all right, pump the brakes, he's 35. And then it stops there. The discussion stops there. What are they missing if people say, John Abraham, 35, end of discussion?
You know, his competitive spirit. You know, he's a beast. You know, he wants to be able to do it as long as he can. And, I mean, last year he had 10 sacks. I mean, I don't know if that speaks, you know, volumes for you, but it speaks volumes for me.
Yeah, again, you know what I would say to that, Paulie? I'd say go back and look at it. It's what I just said right there. The fact that over 13 years, he's averaged 70% of the snaps. That's big now with these new analytics that they have. It's a big metric in front offices across the NFL. It's number of snaps, percentage of snaps that you get. 70% is what he's averaged over that 13-year career. 10 sacks is what he's averaged over his 13-year career. Guess what he had last year? 70% of the snaps, 10 sacks. He's still playing at the same level on average that he's played at over the course of his 13-year career. That tells me he's still got gas in the tank.
Are you still learning from John Abraham? Because a few weeks ago, the first Big Red Rage from training camp, I mean, you extolled the virtues of everything he was teaching you. Is that still happening?
Yeah, well, I mean, right now, mostly it's done from observing. You know, I like to watch him every time he's out there rushing. And I'm out in the game, I always, like, watch him and just see what he's doing. And, I mean, everything's just lining up his man. It really starts with the get-off, though. The get-off is most important. So my get-off's got a lot better.
You know, when we talk about pass rushes and we talk about four-man rushes in particular, Calais, How are you? How is John Abraham, and how are you? Have you worked with him on the ET and on the TE stunt, where you guys basically are creating a big X? Either you're coming up the field and he's coming underneath you, or he's crashing down and you're coming around you. How have you found him in regard to working with those twists and those stunts?
Yeah, man, he's a beast with the twists and the stunts. Like, the way he does it, you know, he's like he bulls the tackle and like almost makes the tackle come with him. So when I'm coming around, you know, I'm pretty much scot free. And I mean, it's really smooth how he does it. And I mean, he has different ways he can do it too. So like, we have like quick techs, we have a power techs, we have a speed techs, and we have like the delay techs. And then you also have all that with the exit game too.
So did we see you on the edge in the preseason? Were there any snaps? Were you actually in that role?
I think it was just like maybe two or three. Wasn't much. You
okay.
Know? Just to see how it was. It worked well, and then, okay, we'll save it for regular season.
I would imagine Matt Shaughnessy as well is a guy that can bring it on some of those tech stunts, right?
Shaughnessy's he's a beast.
He's got a little lead in the pencil, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's hungry too. Got a lot to prove.
Well, when we come back, we'll also talk about, you know, how much the Rams are going to find out about this Cardinals defense. Because let's remember, there's a brand new coordinator, and there are some different schemes in place. There's a different mentality. You talk to a lot of guys on the defensive side, they say they're more aggressive, more attacking, which is hard to fathom considering how much of an attacking defense you were a year ago. So we'll get into that when we come back. A reminder, Cardinals single game tickets are on sale now. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or visit Ticketmaster.com. The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, the regular season, it'll all kick off tomorrow night in Denver. Cardinals at St. Louis on Sunday. We are brought to you by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. With a 38-yard scoring pass. Carson Palmer on first down.
You know, I think we're excited to go play, regardless of what expectations outside the building may be. We expect to stop the run and create turnovers on defense. We expect to be able to run the ball on offense and hit big plays. I don't think anybody cares inside the locker room what other people are saying or what we're supposed to be, what we're not supposed to be.
Yeah, Carson Palmer answering another in a series of questions about, all right, what's coming? What are the Arizona Cardinals all about? 2013, there's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of curiosity. Sort of a mystery team around the NFL right now. You see a wide range of predictions and analysis. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Ron Wolfley, Paul Calvisi. Would you agree with that, Calais? Have you seen sort of a wide range of media opinions on this Cardinals team?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody sort of struggles to get a handle on what you guys are all about this year.
Yeah, man, I've seen stuff saying we're going to be 4-12 and 7-9, and I don't think many people think we're going to make the playoffs. So, you know, we kind of got a chip on the shoulder, want to prove everybody wrong.
How about you guys? Are you a little curious yourself? Are you wondering what this team is all about, or do you think you have a pretty good handle on it right now?
I think we have a pretty good handle on it. I think we know just how good we can be. I think the biggest thing is just executing week in and week out and bringing our A game. If we bring our A game every week, I think we're a playoff team. I think we can win our division.
You know, when you talk about expectations, of course, you're talking about a team coming together. And I think of all the new faces. Oh, my goodness, Calais Campbell. Think about that. All the new faces when training camp started. The fact that over 50 new faces. You've got a new general manager in Steve Keim. Now, I know that you guys know Steve Keim, and he came up through the organization, of course. But he is a new general manager, and you've got a brand new coaching staff that is in prove-it mode right now, aren't they? I mean, that is the way Bruce Arians and staff, they're looking at you. How does that impact you and the team coming together?
It's huge. You know, I think that, you know, when you have to prove it week in and week out, you know, coach goes to the head guys, the guys who are, you know, used to being treated like stars, and tells them, like, you have to prove it. You know, we need every one of you guys to step up and ball. That's what you get.
That really does, right? When you've got a coaching staff and Bruce Arians that will keep some of the star players like yourself accountable first. They look at you first. That just matriculates down through the entire depth chart, doesn't it?
It really does, you know. I mean, if we're doing everything right, all the young guys are looking up to us, and they start doing everything right after a while. You know, the whole team's doing everything right, and it's hard to beat a team doing everything right.
I mean, Coach Arians did it in the mini camp. He did an OTA. He did it early in camp. He yelled at Larry Fitzgerald at least three different times.
Oh, man.
And that gets everybody's attention.
It
even
does.
The media pencil necks like yours truly over on the sideline. I go, wait a minute. Did he just yell at Larry for not blocking? You know, I mean, it was interesting. Very interesting. There's no doubt about it. He had a great soundbite today. Someone asked him about what was his biggest fear about this team? And his answer was, well, I've been on plenty of teams, this is Coach Arians now, where the offense is over there in the locker room, the defense is on the other side, the kickers are in the bathroom. All right, that's his quote, not mine. And he said this team has come together quickly, and he likes the chemistry on this team. How would you gauge it right now?
I think we have great chemistry, especially on the defense side of the ball. And I really think we believe in our offense. We have a lot of confidence in them. Our special teams, I mean, we have a lot of special guys that can do great things. So I really feel like this team is just, we have a lot of confidence in each other.
Calais, how important is that to you, that the offense goes out there and does its job? Do you think about that during a game, or do you just think more about your job and what you need to do?
Oh, no, I think about what the offense does, too. I mean, the thing about the offense is I feel like we have offense that can score points. So I'm in my mind on the game, I'm like, if I get a turnover or if we get a turnover on defense, get the ball in their hands, they're going to go score. So it's more motivation. It's like, yo, let's just step up here, get, you know, go three and out or get a turnover, get the ball in their hands, and you already know what they're going to do.
When we talk about the Arizona Cardinals defense in 2013, what is the cornerstone? What is the foundation? Not a player per se, but what component of playing defensive football is going to be the key for you guys that will unlock all the goodness defensively in 2013?
Physical.
Physical.
Physical is the one word. If everybody plays physically, I think we're hard to beat. You know, I mean, you'll make some mistakes. You know, everybody's going to make mistakes. This is football. But if you go out there and you play physical and just cause havoc, good things are going to happen, and you're going to win a lot of games.
What about the style of defense this year? How will it be different than last year under Todd Bowles? How will things be different? Because every defensive coordinator puts his own signature on a defense.
Honestly, we're going to blitz more than we did last year, which is crazy because we blitzed
really?
A lot. But we have so many more blitzes that we can do and so many more ways we can do blitzes. I mean, we have blitzes that have like three or four different formations or, you know, ways we can go about it. And it's like, you know, every little thing is going to, you know, it's a different blitz, but you think it's the same thing. We line in so many different alignments and run the same blitz. And I think we're going to blitz, you know, more often than not.
You know, you said physical when I asked you what the key component to this defense would be. And when I hear physical, I think of point of attack. I think of the point of attack on the line of scrimmage inside the box, especially when you're talking about the NFC West. You guys need to improve your rush defense. How confident are you that you guys are going to be able to do that?
100% confident. I think that we're very hungry as a D-line, and I think that we're motivated and I mean, it's just the way it is that we believe that we can win if we show up and stop people. And that belief is going to make us go out there and play as hard as we can every single play and just make plays play after play after play.
How does the scheme help you do that, the scheme of Todd Bowles? What has changed this year that allows you guys to be more physical, more aggressive?
It's a solid gap control defense, and our coaches are on us every day about getting off the ball and just knocking people back. And that's huge because that means, you know, just come out the ball, hit somebody in the mouth and knock them back and get rid of them and go make a play. And that's my kind of football.
You've really got to be disciplined, don't you, though? When you talk about gap control and staying in your gap, you've got to be disciplined, don't you?
100%. That's the number one thing. If I can trust my teammates to be in their gap and I'm in my gap, it's hard to beat us. I
mean, just do your job.
That's the name of the game.
Do your job.
That's my question. How often do you hear the word stop the run? The whole coaching staff is all over you guys all the time,
over.
Aren't they?
This whole game plan is stop the run first. Just stop the run. Number 26, he's gonna make a few plays, but no, that against us.
Then the coaches look at you, and they look at Doc, and they look at Dan Williams first, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, the D-line's where it's at. You know, any game you play in, it's the D-line that controls the game. If we play well, we win games.
Well, we heard from Carson Palmer to start this segment. A reminder, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo is going to donate $500 to local public schools. So the Passing Touchdowns for Schools program, Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. It's the Big Red Rage. On we go here, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Stephon Taylor is the running back deep. He takes the handoff. He hits the middle across the 10, makes a man miss at the 5, and he squirts into the end zone for a touchdown late. Just over a minute to go, and Stephon Taylor picks his way in. Touchdown, Arizona.
Very determined run by Stephon Taylor. Just another running back here in this deep stable of backs.
Yeah, there you go. He was a three-year starter at Stanford, missed one game in the 3 years, three-time 1,000-yard rusher. Stephon Taylor, just one of the rookies who shined. Every single rookie who was drafted short of Ryan Swope made the final roster and is on this team going into the regular season. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, Ron Wolf, Lears, Troy, Paul Calvisi here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by the guys at Santan Ford over there. Tim Hovick and crew representing, no doubt about it. Who represented for you? Let's start with the running backs, because there were some impressive guys coming out of college. They made it, and that's one position where a guy can make an impact right away, is that running back in the NFL.
100%. You know, and Stephon Taylor has been, I mean, he's a workhorse. He gets that ball in there, and he finds a way to get yards. But, you know, I really like is Andre Ellington. You know, he's just a playmaker. You know, he's a guy that can be a home run hitter, 10 pitches the ball. And that's special. You know, he has really good vision, too. And he's a tough runner. People, I mean, usually speed guys are a little bit soft. Mm-hmm. But he's a tough guy, too. So I'm excited for him.
One of the things you have to do if you're a running back in the Bruce Arians offense is be able to hold up in protection. It's critical, as you know. He loves an every down back. He's not big on the, you know what do you say, we have a first and second, a rundown running back, and maybe we have a tandem there, and maybe we'll go ahead and we'll bring a third down, quote unquote, back in and bring him in. He really enjoys down back, and you be able to hold up in protection. When it comes to that, which running back do you think is the best at holding up in protection?
I think that's why Alphonso Smith is still here.
Alphonso Smith, again.
We saw that in
not
practice.
Only that, heard Bruce Arians actually say, Alphonso Smith, guys are afraid to rush Alphonso Smith. Is that true?
It's true, because he is really just a good pass protector. He knows how to scan the defense, pick up the right blocker, I mean the right blitzer, and he's good at cutting, he's good at hitting you in your mouth. I mean, he's the whole package when it comes to being a running back and blocking.
Yeah, he's one of those rare offensive guys who's going to deliver the blow. You know, we saw it in a lot of those drills. I mean, a lot of defensive guys got the wrong end of blitz pickup with Alphonso Smith. We saw it time and again. You know, and you speak of that, in Ryan Williams' case, for example, and Wolf, to your point, I mean, everyone's like, okay, can the knee hold up? What's he going to look like? You know, is he going to have the speed? Is he going to have the moves? And Bruce Arians, first thing he cited was, I want to see him in a game pick up the blitz.
Yeah.
I want to see him protect the passer. And I know that was a big question for Bruce Arians and Ryan Williams. How good did you guys feel when Ryan Williams finally made the roster?
I felt pretty good. And there was a move he made in practice today that was so smooth. And I'm like, oh, he might be back. Because, I mean, when I seen him before he got hurt his rookie year, I mean, he was special. Mm-hmm. And in the last couple of years, he's just trying to just fill it back out again. But today I seen something that was like, okay, it might be back. Uh-oh, that guy is special.
You know, Paulie, let me just say, the running backs are going to have more to do with the Arizona Cardinals throwing the football and how well they throw the football than at any point in my 9 years as color analyst for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, I cannot stress enough how important play action is to Bruce Arians and this offense. That means two things in particular. Many things, but two things that I want to talk about. First and foremost, you've got to be able to run the ball. If you're a running back, you've got to be able to run the ball and threaten that front seven. And I think the Arizona Cardinals have some running backs that will do just that. Guys like Stephon Taylor that will get the dirty yards that you need in between the teeth, the hashes of the field. You need running backs that will do that. Rashard Mendenhall, obviously a guy that can get those dirty yards, but also can take it to the house with his speed and his ability to make some people miss in the open field. You've got to have a running back that threatens that front seven with running the football. And the reason being is because of how important it is in play action and how much play action Bruce Arians and this offense will use to make those chunk throws down the field. That means the running back that is threatening that front seven has also got to be able to hold up in protection. And that's a problem with many NFL teams. You can have a running back that is good, a running back that can threaten that front seven. At the same time, if he can't hold up in protection, play action is always a dicey proposition because you know he's responsible for picking up so many linebackers that blitz or secondaries personnel coming out at that second level. I think the running back is going to be key to how well we throw the ball this year.
100%, I agree. I really do.
With a regular season game plan and Bruce Arians calling the plays, we asked you what the defense is going to look like. You got a sense of what the offense is going to look like for the Cardinals this year.
Yeah, 100%. I think we're going to run the ball very well in first down and third down, and we're going to hit them over the top of the head. We're throwing deep, making plays. Tight ends are going to make a lot of plays. A lot of trick plays, a lot of punts. It's been a good year.
Yeah, we have seen that. The Cardinals putting the downfield into downfield passing attack. No doubt about that. That was It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. It is a Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, all presented by the guys at Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Back right after this.
Bradford takes the snap and hands it off to Richardson up the middle. Dan Williams got off a block and squashed Richardson at the 45 for a loss of one.
Yeah, big Dan Williams making a play, getting off that block, as you said, and then he just stuffed Richardson right in his belly button, squashed him like a June bug.
Squashed. It's a pretty good term, right? I mean, if you're a defensive lineman, especially you're the point of attack, right, and it's your job to snuff out the run, the verb squash by the play-by-play guys, that's never a bad thing, right, Dan Williams?
Not at all. You know, especially when coming from Wolf, so, you know, there's always a big compliment. So, as long as he doesn't call me what's the name of the thing, Dumpster Dan?
Dumpster Dan.
I take that any day.
Hey, you know what, Danny? I mean, look, you got to use what the good Lord has given you, right? And
yeah.
You are definitely doing that, no doubt about it. You know, I want to ask you, because there was a famous nose tackle, his name was Bob Golic, that once said that playing nose tackle in the National Football League was like being a fire hydrant in a dog kennel. Would you agree? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, our job is to occupy the blockers for the linebackers, and so everybody pretty much just uses us, and we get all the dirty work, and, you know, that guys like D-Wash, Jasper this year and Carlos, you know, they get to get all the glory and make all the plays. But, you know, as long as we're winning, I'm fine with that.
Danny, and it is kind of dirty work in there, isn't it? I mean, it's a nasty job to play that one technique in the National Football League, playing over the center right in the middle of the line of scrimmage, isn't it?
Definitely. You know, I think we probably get the most dope teams, you know, each game. And I always tell Calais, you know, playing the three technique is way easier, you know, than playing the one. And I say, you know, those guys get days off, but I never get playoffs. So it's just the fact that but it's very key to the defense, because if we get knocked back, you know, the offense can pretty much do what they want to do.
What does an offensive lineman do to cross the line with you guys? This preseason, we saw Richie Incognito, who's infamous for that stuff, get into a former Cardinal Antonio Smith, okay? What crosses the line when you're engaged with an offensive lineman and you guys are going at it?
You know, I think the biggest thing is when you're out there and they try to hit you in the knees, you know, those are the biggest thing, because that's something that could end your career or end your season, you know. So, I mean, you know, you cut me, that's cool. You know, hit me in my thighs, you know, that's part of the game. But you go to that knee area, and that's when it gets a little dangerous. And then some guys are just, after the play, just downright dirty. And it's okay, you know. I mean, I'm the type of guy that gets you back during, you know, the whistles. I would get you back.
What about you, Dan? What sets you off?
I mean, definitely, like, in the middle of a game, you know, especially being the bottom pound sometimes, you know, you get extra fingers in your eyes and get choked every now and then. So, that, you know, offensive line, you know, some play, you know, to the whistle, some play after the whistle, you know, they push you in the back, or, you know, try to push you over power, or try to finish you over power. So, you know, sometimes a little extra stuff does, you know, kind of, you know, boils you over a little bit.
Now, Danny, you know, you're one of the most docile human beings I've ever seen off the field. But you know what? On the field, and you know this, Calais, on the field, Danny, I've seen you explode a few times. My goodness, just lose it. I have seen you lose it on the field.
I mean, you know, the game we play, you know, is a violent game, and it's just like, you can only let the offensive lineman do so much. And it's just like, you know, when they try to do a little something extra, I just try to give it to them before they give it to me. So, you know, don't start nothing, it won't be nothing.
Do you? Yeah, that got the crowd all jacked up, you know. Do you find that you play better aggressively when you're aggressive, when you're angry? Do you think you play better?
I think he plays better.
You do, Calais.
When I see him get mad, there's nobody can block him. It's impossible. I try to find ways to, you know, get him a little mad before the game, because when he's mad, he's turns into Superman.
Danny, do you agree with that?
I mean, I can agree, but I think I'm mad at the beginning of the game. I'm mad all game. But it's just the fact, like, you know, it's also
But Danny, there's mad, and then there's I'm going to rip your face mask off.
mad.
I mean, that's how I am every play. It's just the fact that I still have to do it within the defense. You know, I don't want to just try to, you know, be a selfish player or just try to jump out the gap or, you know, do certain things that some people to my right do sometimes. But but it's all good. You know, my job is to, you know, make sure that the center doesn't get a day off or those two inside guards don't have a day off. It's make it very tough on them. And, like, when, you know, like I said, when the linebackers come downhill, they have an easier job, you know, to make the play. Or, you know, when the opportunity present itself for myself, you know, I could just come off and make the play. So,
Danny, do you think you got to manufacture that rage? I mean, is there something you do in the locker room when you prepare to go out there and play? Do you think of anything? You know what I mean? Do you paint these scenarios in your brain, you know, to get yourself jacked up? I mean, do you have any rituals to get yourself ready to go and have the intensity level that you need?
I mean, pretty much. I mean, every game I just, you know, I have my playlist, you know, on my iPod each week, and that's about it. You know, just listen to my radio a little bit, you know, stretch, and, you know, just get ready.
What do you listen to, man? What do you when you want to get, you know, you want to tap into the rage tree? What are you listening to?
I mean, like, I listen to a little
bit. Oh, no. Here it comes. He's going to say something like Spando Ballet or something like that, right?
My thing, I listen to a lot of my hometown artists, you know. Have like a little 3-6 Mafia on there. Okay. Yo Gotti. Yep. And so I listen to, Calais put me on DMX before the game. So, I listen to, you know, little songs kind of get you fired up before the game. But I've been listening to those guys since, you know, I've been in high school. So it's pretty much, you know, the playlist hasn't changed too much. But it's just pretty much that, you know, every game in the NFL counts, you know, yeah. Like, and we definitely just want to, you know, I haven't been to the playoffs since I've been here, and I definitely want to experience that. And my thing is, you know, every game counts, and we can't, you know, let any game slip away. You know, it felt good, you know, being 4-0 last year, and then, you know, it's so easy, you know, we lost 12 in a row, 11 in a row. So I definitely, you know, like, those type of memories, you know, stick with me, and I definitely don't want to, you know, experience that again.
You know, can I make a suggestion to a little Metallica mixed in every now and then? You got some guy saying, "Chaw!" You know, it's not bad.
Well, if you guys want to set Wolf off, just go and reach over to his plate. He'll go into beast mode if you try and take a bite of his burger, for example,
now. Yeah, right, exactly.
Dan, what about Calais? Have you seen Calais lose it? I mean, what sets Calais off? Have you seen him in the huddle or in games? Have you seen him where he's just irate?
Well, first of all, I think he's upset by the NFL. He can't do his baseball swing after the sack.
That's right. That'll instantly set you off. Think about that.
And also, if you start naming other players to say that somebody's better than Calais, like, that gets them going. Like, you know, I always tell them J.J. Watt's the best defensive end in the NFL, and that's, you could probably get a 3-sack game out of Calais then. So you just got to name other people. Ooh, and,
I see.
And
he's hyper-competitive, huh?
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely. All right. Definitely.
This is true.
Yes.
This is true.
All right, it is the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, Dan Williams, 2/3 of your starting D-line. Back right after this at Marley's Chandler Patrick Zeller.
The captains on defense, Patrick Peterson and Darnell Dockett. Offensively, Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. And special teams were Lorenzo Alexander and Jay Feely.
Shotgun for Bradford, 3 receivers left. He has the football, throws deep right side of the end zone, and a jump ball. Peterson picked it up. Interception by Peterson.
Special being voted by your teammates to be a leader and a captain and a guy to wear that C on his chest, it means a lot to me. Now I have to go out there and continue doing the things that I've been doing since I've been here and making sure guys are being led in the right way.
For those of us who've never been in an NFL locker room, it is a Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, special guest Dan Williams, Ron Wolfe, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. Calais, go ahead and assess the honor that was bestowed upon those six gentlemen, those six teammates today. How big a deal is that when you're named a team captain?
That's a real big deal. You know, you're voted by your peers, and, you know, that means everybody thinks highly of you. And Patrick Peterson, he is a guy who, like, approaches practice full speed, plays, you know, to the whistle, tries to knock down every ball, doesn't want anybody to catch the ball on him. And we practice that way. Games are easy. So, you know, he really does practice as a captain, and he deserves it.
How did that work, guys? Were you split up when you voted? Were you all in a team meeting when you voted?
Yeah, just a team meeting. Everybody, you know, votes 2 offense, 2 defense, 2 special teams.
You know, they give you a slip or something like that, and you guys wrote it down?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Piece of paper. And just wrote the number or the name down. So.
Okay. Was it pretty automatic, or did you guys have to think about it? Or, I mean, were there certain guys that just absolutely stood out that were automatic choices?
I mean, you think about it, because there's a lot of different guys who are, you know, leaders. Like, you know, Sam Macho's a guy. I even, you know, give Big Dan Williams a vote because, you know, he's the kind of guy that, you know, when I have an issue or something, I go to him. And he's the one who talks me to it. So, you know, I mean, but there's a lot of guys who are, you know, leaders in this locker room. We have so many guys who have experience and are good people and just work hard and push the game the right way. And I think our team is full of leaders.
What kind of issues there, Calais? Share. Come on now, open up. What kind of issues would you have that would lead you to go to Dan Williams, you know, and seek his consultation? I mean, well, what sort of issues are you talking about here?
All kinds of issues. You know, anytime I get mad, Dan Williams is the guy I go talk to.
Somebody takes your antiperspirant out of your locker. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, you got to vent a little. You go find Dan. How's that work? You know?
People do always steal my lotion, man. That is a problem.
See, there's always something, you know. What's your pet peeve, Dan, in the locker room? Calais, somebody steals his lotion. How about you?
Man, my biggest pet peeve is someone steals my shower shoes. Like, I don't understand. Like,
now, who would do that, Dan?
I don't know.
Somebody's going to take your shower shoes with your DNA all over it?
I'm thinking the same thing, Wolf. I don't know what's going on. Yes.
I mean, somebody just needs to go down to the dime store and go get a pair of flip-flops. I mean, my goodness, you know? Okay. All right. What else? How is the locker room these days? By the way, who's around you guys? Who are your locker neighbors? You know, are you guys good neighbors? Are you conscientious neighbors, your teammates?
It's the D-line. So, I mean, it's like the offensive line and the D-line. And so we're always around each other. It's just like that's how you build that team chemistry. So it's just all of us over there hanging out, chilling, you know, just messing around. You know how we do. Doc is a funny guy. He makes us laugh all the time. So it's a lot of trash talking and just having fun. Mm-hmm.
Danny, a lot of turnover on that defensive line, in that defensive meeting room as well. A lot of turnover in particular on that defensive line. What do you think about it? So assess the defensive line for us.
Well, you know, of course you have, Calais and Doc. You know, those are probably, I'll say, the two leaders in our room right now. You know, myself, you know, I guess I'm getting older now, so I'm not necessarily the young guy in the room anymore. We have Frosty, you know, he's an 8-year vet. You know, he comes in with a lot of leadership abilities. I think he's more of a defensive end, but he's actually shown his toughness, you know, playing inside a little bit more. Tally, Ron, you know, Ron probably been here every year I've been here. You know, he's been kind of like a journeyman, you know, just been here. He's worked his way up off the practice squad. You know, last year we sent him home. He came back week 9, came in, got a sack. So Tally's been putting in a lot of work, and, you know, me and him kind of got close also. And, I mean, just the thing he do. Tally's probably the strongest, one of the strongest dude I've been around.
Unbelievable,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes,
because he's not a big guy, right?
Yeah, definitely. He's very cut. So, you know, you walk around, you can tell.
I mean, yeah, he
looks like a bodybuilder, but
290,
yeah, 280,
right?
290, but he definitely plays big, you know. And he's a smart player, and you know, he plays with the best of plays at the best of his abilities. And then also we just brought those two new guys in. I think one guy. No, of course. Anthony from Florida State, and I don't want to say
Alameda,
yes, and you know that's a big guy, so I'm finally happy. You know, someone's in the D-line room weighs more than me, so
that dude is huge,
yeah. And that is so important in today's NFL, isn't it? To have that rotation on the defensive line.
I mean, definitely, and you know, those guys came in with great, great attitudes, and those guys just being around, and they definitely fit our room. You know, they're good guys to fit in our room, and our front office has been doing a great job, you know, filling in our spots on our team, and especially our D-line.
Dan, how much of that is your daily ritual? Okay, I'm going to eat that, I'm not going to eat that. You know, I mean, how much do you have to sort of be conscious of watching the LBs?
Well, right now it's just the fact, like, I mean, I'm down, and I pretty much just got I found me a cook. So now I just bring my lunch to work. So it's easy. So pretty much, like, she comes, you know, makes a certain food that I need, and so it's a whole lot easier, and I don't have to make those decisions.
You know, coaches have what they believe is your optimal playing weight. What do you think is your optimal playing weight, and is it? Do you agree with what the coaches think?
I agree, and also, you know, I just like to come in under what they think, you know, because I feel like the lighter I am, the better I can play. And honestly, I have realized when I lose more weight, I get stronger. So I do. I mean, I mean, the weight
is that number, Danny?
Well, the coaches, you know, my weight is 327. And, you know, right now I'm probably like, you know, 324, 325. So I'm under it. So I really want to get down to 320.
I like you around there, too. I got to tell you about 325, somewhere in there. I do. I think that is your optimal playing weight.
Yeah. So
I see. So Wolf's just like a self-appointed consultant, apparently, on the training staff.
I'm just saying. I don't like Danny at 312.
Yeah, he doesn't make it too light.
I mean, 312, a little light, I think. Too light for him. And you've been down there.
Yeah.
You did a great job getting to that weight. I like you more like 325. I think that's your optimal weight where you feel strong and you're still hard to move.
All right. Conversely, did you say you got up to 300 this year?
Well, now I'm back down to 290 because they want us to get the ball kind of fast. But I was 305 to 310 the last couple of years.
All right, there you go. Look, we'll come back. We'll continue on. We're going to talk about some of those other playmakers on defense, who to look for beginning Sunday in St. Louis. It's the Big Red Rage, hosted by Calais Campbell. Special guest Dan Williams, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Back to football.
Here comes the heat.
It's a touchdown!
There's no dirt like Peter. To the house.
He is slammed down.
Oh, baby.
That's it. The Cardinals have shocked the world.
Rise up, Red Sea. Let's hear it.
Fires over the middle of Fitz. Caught at the 45, 50. Fitz is loose, 40, 30. Goodbye. Touchdown.
Arizona Cardinals. Back to football.
Well done there. Man, that gets the juices flowing, no doubt about it. Jim Elmahunter there on the editing end. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and Dan Williams, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Do you have to manage those emotions as you get towards Sunday and kickoff in St. Louis?
Yes, I do. You know, I've been in situations where I get too hyped up too soon, and then by the first time you play the game, you're like, you're almost exhausted. Your legs are kind of heavy. So, you know, you really try to just bottle it in, hold it in, and then right before the game, you just let everything loose and just erupt.
He definitely lets it loose.
That beast comes out.
You know, there's a lot of people talking about the St. Louis Rams and how they're going to make that paradigm shift from being a run-first team to a pass-first team with Sam Bradford as their quarterback now that Steven Jackson is gone. My question to you is, do you guys believe that? Do you believe that's what you're going to see?
I just believe, you know, Jeff Fisher's going to just run what works. You know, if his run is going well today, he's going to stick with the run. If the pass is going well today, he's going to stick with the pass. You know, he's definitely a good coach, and he's going to just do what's working for him the best that day. And, I expect from just going off, you know, last year, they'll probably come out, try to run the ball, you know, establish a run very early, and, you know, he'll do it until we stop it.
Yeah.
So it's just our job, you know, come there and, you know, slow him down, just try to make him one-dimensional.
Calais?
Yeah, I think that they got to come out and run the ball first. You know, I mean, Sam Bradford is a good quarterback, but he's at that level where you have to build your confidence. You have to start him in slow. You know, I mean, I think they want to throw the ball, but it's the first game of the season. They're going to run. You know, and, I mean, we're not surprised because, I mean, you know, we're prepared if they want to come out throwing the ball out of the way. That's what I love to do is go rush the passer, but we have to be ready to go and, you know, put our hats on the running back and cause fumbles and make plays and wreak havoc.
No Steven Jackson, no Danny Amendola. How do you size up the St. Louis offense and some of the weapons they have right now?
That guy, was it Tavon Austin?
Tavon Austin?
Tavon Austin. Yeah, that guy's a beast. You know, watching film on him, I mean, he's special. You know, I mean, he's a little guy, but he makes people miss and can do a lot of good things. So, you know, I think they might come out with a little wildcat and try to emphasize him, see what he can do out there.
How about the Honey Badger on Tavon Austin? A little rematch from some of their college days. I mean, you know, tell us about how equipped he is, Tyrann Mathieu, Calais, for the regular season.
I really like the way he comes down and blitzes, man. That guy is special, you know. He's a natural playmaker, but what he really does is he comes through and he's physical and he makes plays, and he really has good pass rush moves. I think he can play a little D-line.
Interesting. And anybody else on the defense that, you know, maybe fans, you know, some of the new guys, some of the new names, who else is having a really good camp that you think is going to unleash it starting Sunday?
I think Matt Shannon is going to have a big game come Sunday. And I really like Jasper Brinkley. I think he's going to have a big game for us. He's probably have like 15 tackles.
Yeah, he's a guy who plays downhill, no doubt about that, right? Hey, by the way, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Betteridge Jewelers in Scottsdale and Paul Benzel Jewelers in Yuma. It's the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and Dan Williams. Down the stretch we come at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Back to wrap it up right after this. Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and Dan Williams, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. So a year ago, when you guys had a capable quarterback, an experienced, polished quarterback, this team started 4-1. What does Carson Palmer do? Let's just go right back. Let's not bury the lead. How much does Carson Palmer maybe bolster the confidence of the defense? Is there a trickle-down effect of getting a Carson Palmer on the defensive side of the ball?
Man, that's huge. You know, it really is one of those things where you have confidence. And, you know, we know that we can win games if we just do our part, because our offense can do their part and they're going to score points. And last year we lost that. We started losing games because it was like you're playing for yourself in a sense and not really for the team. And, I mean, we still try to play for the team, but it's easy when you have a guy that you believe in and you know the team can win games if you get behind them.
Do you like playing on the road? Do you guys like playing on the road? Is your mindset different when you're on the road than when you're at home?
I mean, my opinion, yeah. I mean, I enjoy it. You know, it was just the fact that, you know, everything's pretty much against you. You know, nothing's really in your favor. You know, you got the away crowd. I mean, the home crowd for their team, you know, rooting against you. And you know, the referees don't really call holding that much, you know, on the road. So it's just an
underdog mentality.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I love playing on the road. I mean, yeah. I think playing on the road is one of those things where you can make their fans cheer for you when you make a play that sweet. And
yeah.
I go out there and I try to make their fans cheer for me. I go try to make a play where they were like, ooh.
Yes. I used to love that, too. You know, like you were just trapped. You were some badger. You were trapped in a corner. You had nowhere to go except bite and claw and scratch your way out of that corner.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
100%. I can't wait. I'm getting excited.
Have you got a sense for Wolf's vivid imagination? Have you got a sense for that here, Calais? Because that's coming all season long.
All season long. I love it.
Like you were the Wolverine, right? Knives coming out. Yeah. Fight. I love it, too. I can empathize. I guess.
All right. Special thanks, Jim O'Mahoner, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird, Dan Williams. Thanks for coming on down, everybody. How about it for Big Dan Williams? Don't even think about eating Wolf's burger over there.
Oh, no, it's already gone.
Calais, we look forward to all season long. Heck of an opening debut. Hope you match it and exceed it on Sunday against the Rams, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Special thanks to the guys over at Santan Ford and everybody here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Have a great night, everyone.
Sure.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, what? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.